Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. And, you know, we are living in a day and age where the lines of doctrine, sound doctrine, biblical doctrine, are being blurred. They're being blurred. There's a great movement to unite under the banner of Antichrist. There's a great movement, it's called the Ecumenical Movement, to unite all of the religions and faiths of the world for Antichrist. That's the storm that we are in the midst of. the winds of doctrine, the strong winds of doctrine, false doctrine, doctrines of devils, doctrines of demons, doctrines that flow out of the serpent's mouth, the old serpent, the devil. And we Protestants, we the descendants of the reformers, must wage war. We have no choice, but to push back against the devil's encroachments. And so today we're upping the ante. Today we are raising our game, if you will. And we are putting forth, starting today, and will continue for the next 4 months, we are putting forth our very, very own version, contemporary version, if you will, of the 95 Thesis. The 95 Thesis that Martin Luther penned in his day tackled the abuses, the corruption, the malpractices that were being perpetrated by the Roman Catholic Church among the people in 1517. 500 years later, 2017, we have abuses in the church, we have malpractices in the church, we have scams, we have false governments in the church, this thing called episcopacy, this version of episcopacy, which isn't even biblical. This is all satanic. This form of episcopacy, I would argue that it is Satan. It is Satan's creation to condition the church to receive the Antichrist. Because when you elevate man, and that's what present-day episcopacy and the African-American church is, it is the elevating of man to the level of God. Then what you're doing, if you're getting people to worship their bishops, their prelates, their primates, whatever you want to call them, metropolitans, form of episcopacy that has invaded the black church, the African-American church here in America, is setting people up, conditioning them, getting them used to worshiping man so that when the Antichrist shows up, it'll be easy peasy. That's where we are today, saints. And so we here at Reformation News, we have put forth a contemporary version that addresses the contemporary malpractices and abuses and scams and delusions and heretical teachings and false doctrines that have permeated the church. And what we're going to do for the next 4 months is we're going to come on the air each and every day, except on Fridays, because on Fridays we have a call-in broadcast. And only on Friday we will not be doing this. But Monday through Thursday, Saturday and Sunday, that means that each and every week we're going to be able to put forth 6 theses. And I'll explain what a thesis is in a minute. We're going to put forth One per day, one on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, one on Thursday, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. That means that within a 1 week period, we're going to put forth six theses or propositions. And we're going to give you one per day because we want you to ponder upon these propositions. We want you to think about what we're stating. What is it that we're trying to expose? We want you to think on them. And so even if it takes us 4 months, 5 months to present the arguments, and listen, all of these, the whole 95 theses, all of these 95 propositions are addressed to the joint members of the Joint College of African American Bishops. Now they claim, and I've seen some video where some of their leaders are talking, and they have books. You know, they're standing in front of bookshelves, and you can see the different tomes, the different sets, the different volumes. So they claim to be scholarly. They claim that that's the claim that they make. One of their leaders talked about how when you join the Joint College of African American Bishops, you are joining the elite and the august members of the scholarly robes. Let's see how much scholarship is in that camp, because we're going to put forth 95 arguments. Let's see if we can get one of these so-called scholars. Let's see how much scholarship resides. Let's see how much Bible they know. Let's see how much church history they know. Let's see. Let's see how much theology they know. Let's see. And if they want to talk canon law, we'll talk canon law. If they want to talk apostolic succession, if they want to go and they want to trace everybody in the succession line, we'll debate that. You want to talk about the succession line in the Western stream or the Eastern stream? We can debate either stream. We can. Because here at Reformation News, we're just not hot air. We're not hot air on this broadcast. And this is a challenge. This is a formal challenge. This is a formal challenge to the Joint College, to the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, and they got hundreds of members, hundreds, with doctorates, with degrees. Let's see if one would come forth. Let's see if one dares to come forth and tackle the 95 theses that we're going to present. Let's see. Let's see what the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, let's see what they're made of. Let's see if their resumes are for real. Let's see. I've already put forth the challenge. We are going to be releasing 12 books this year. Two have already been released. Two books. The first book is Jackass Church Bishops. And the second book is Nehushtan Church Bishops. And in total, there will be 12 books. Let's see. If 12 of their scholars would debate, if they can get 12 of their men, 12 of their elite men or women, 12 of their so-called elite theologians, let's see. if they could read, if one of them can read Jackass Church Bishops and take us on. If another one can read Nehushtan Church Bishops and take us on. Let's see. I mean, it's one author. This one author is willing to take on, this one author is willing to take on 12 of their scholars. Do they have 12 scholars over there at the Joint College of African American Bishops? Do they have 12 scholarly robes? Let's see. Because for the next 4 months, we are talking to, we are addressing, we are formally addressing the Joint College of African American Bishops. We are formally addressing them. Let's see. Let's see if any one of them, if any one of them has what it takes to debate. Let's see. I doubt it. I doubt it that they're going to be able to respond. I doubt that they will be able to answer these propositions. I doubt that they're going to be able to muster a defense. I doubt it. But let's see. I've been proven wrong before. I've been proven wrong. It won't be the first or the last time. Let's see if in the Joint College of African American Bishops, let's see if they have a loud mouth like Goliath. Because I'll tell you one thing, it's not going to take 40 days for Reformation News to respond. We're going to respond on the first day. There are no cowards on our team. None. So we are doing these 95 programs. There's going to be 95 programs, folks. 95 programs directed towards the whole corpus, the whole group, called the Joint College of African American Bishops. Let's see if they have a champion among them. Let's see if there's an Achilles among them. Let's see. I don't think so. I just think that they're just all followers. I just think that they're all yes men. I don't think that there's any scholarship in that camp. I don't think so. I could be wrong. Let's see. Let's see if anyone comes forward. Let's see if anyone on that end among the jackass bishops, among the hee-hawing bishops, let's see if among the Nehushtan bishops there arises one who says, I'll answer this 95 thesis. Let's see. So, saints, you're in for a treat. You're in for a treat. Because we're going to be doing a whole lot of talking on this end. We're going to be coming on the air. We're going to dedicate 95 broadcasts. We're going to dedicate 95 broadcasts. In hopes that we can get someone from the Joint College of Bishops to pop their little heads out of the foxhole. To see if anyone would dare take the challenge. Let's see if they're anointed. Let's see how anointed they are. Let's see. In my opinion, it's just all talk, no action. A lot of bark, no bite. A lot of roaring, like Satan. Satan is a roaring lion. But punch him right in the nose, and he flees. Let's see. Let's see. Now, they have a lot of supposed giants. You read the resumes from these members of the Joint College of Bishops. They have giants, resumes. I mean, their resumes are so big. Let's see if one of them would dare take on the challenge. Let's see if one of them would even dare answer one of the forget about answering all 95. That's not happening. Let's see if one of them can answer one of the propositions. Would anybody, is there anybody in the Joint College of Bishops who would dare take a stab at answering one of the propositions? I highly doubt it. I highly, highly doubt it. But let's see. It's worth a try. Now, you, the church, you, the members of the black church, you, the godly members of the African American church, you who love the Lord, it behooves you to tune in and read the proposition yourself. Read the proposition yourself and ponder it and ask the Holy Spirit to give you enlightenment. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. And then ask yourself, well, this makes a lot of sense. What our brother is saying makes a lot of sense. Why isn't anyone from the Joint College of Bishops responding? Why won't any of the members of the Joint College of Bishops, who on a normal basis do a lot of talking, oh, they're so long-winded. They're so long-winded. Now they're playing crickets. Now you can't hear anything from them. Now all you hear is silence. Let's see. Well, on October 31st, which was a Saturday, on October 31st, 1517, the Augustinian monk by the name of Martin Luther nailed on the door of Wittenberg Castle Church, he nailed on the door a document, which he entitled the 95 Thesis. What is the 95 Thesis? What was it? Well, it was a furious litany of criticisms, a furious litany of criticisms, 95 in total. Martin Luther was hot under the collar. And he wrote 95 criticisms in hopes that he could cause people to talk, to reason, perhaps even debate. The 95 thesis was 95 stinging bullet points. 95 stinging bullet points. And that's what we're endeavoring to do here. This is what we're going to do here. We're going to present 95 stinging bullet points. We want to ask the Joint College of Bishops 95 questions. It's going to get them mad. It's going to get them mad. But it's high time. It's high time these questions were asked. And it, you know, it just so happens that this year coincides the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And it all started when Martin Luther nailed that piece of paper that contained the 95 stinging bullet points that got the ball rolling. What is a thesis? A thesis is a proposition. What is a proposition? A proposition is a short subject. It is a short subject put forth for discussion, analysis, and debate. A proposition is a short subject, a short idea, a short topic put forth so that the masses of Christ-loving people can talk about it, analyze it, and debate it. The 95 theses, while we are directing them to the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, yes, we're directing it to them, but listen, we want people, we want the saints, everyone, we want everyone in the church to read them, discuss them, analyze them from different angles, and debate the merits of them. Not, we're going to put forth 95 arguments, 95 criticisms, 95 stinging, 95 propositions. A proposition is a well-formulated argument opened for debate. So what we are writing, what we're presenting it in hopes that people will debate it. We don't want you to take it as gospel. We want you to debate it. We want you to put your thinking caps on. Because, folks, once again, we are living in the dark ages. Think about it. There are more Bible institutes today, more Bible colleges today, more seminaries today, more online schools today. You have more Bible translations today, more commentaries today, more Bible dictionaries today, more Bible encyclopedias today. I mean, you have all kinds of Greek and Hebrew lexicons. We have no shortage of textbooks. We have no shortage of institutions of higher learning. We have no shortage of men and women with masters of divinity degrees and all kinds of doctorate degrees relating to the church. And yet, we're in the dark ages. We are in the dark ages. We're in the dark ages. You can't blame the people in Luther's day. They had no Bible. But today, any Christian can have up to 3 or 4 or 5 Bible translations. In Luther's day, you can't blame the people of Luther's day. They had no Bible. They had to believe what the church told them. People didn't have a Bible in Luther's day. There was no printing press. I mean, there was a printing press, but it was as slow as molasses. Very few people had books. Books were expensive. And only the wealthy or the colleges could afford them. Today we have commentaries galore. There's a new commentary set coming out every year. Greek word studies, forget it. Hebrew word studies, forget it. Hebrew and Greek lexicons, please. Theological dictionaries, please. All kinds of encyclopedias, large encyclopedias, small encyclopedias on the Bible, on religion, I mean, on theology. Church history sets all over the place. Creeds, all kinds of creeds. I mean, please. And yet, we're in the dark ages. Go figure. And that's why we need a reformation. Why do we need a reformation? Well, we need a reformation because the level of abuse and malpractice in the church is out of control. I mean, just the level of abuse and malpractice in the church is out of control. And that's what the 95 thesis that Luther penned was all about. It was to highlight the abuses in the church, to highlight the abuses. So to the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, I say, you've been formally challenged. You are being formally challenged to respond, to put forth a champion. Do you have one in your camp? Because you boast that you do. You boast that your members are members of the scarlet robes. Is there anyone in that camp? Is there an archbishop in that camp who can defend the honor of the Joint College of African American Bishops? Is there a metropolitan in that camp? Is there a prince of bishops in that camp? Is there a prelate in that camp? Is there somebody in that camp who can answer these 95 propositions? Because they're coming. And your silence and the silence of the Joint College of African American Bishops will speak volumes. It's going to speak volumes. So let's see. Let's see if they have a champion among them. Let's see. And I've been going through the list of bishops there. And as I go through the list of the bishops who are the members of the Joint College, and then you check out their churches and you check out their resumes. Wow, I mean, these are supposed to be giants in the faith. Well, let's see if there's a loudmouth Goliath among them. Because they're not on the Lord's side, I can tell you that much. If you become paganized, if you dress like pagan Rome, like imperial Rome, like papal Rome, I mean, because these African American bishops, they are completely Romish. Whether you speak of the imperial Rome age or period, or the pagan Roman period, or the papal Roman period, it makes no difference. Imperial, pagan, papal. Makes no difference. These politans and archbishops and bishops and suffragan bishops and their whole crowd, their whole entourage, they've been completely paganized. And that's what I put forth in the book, Jackass Church Bishops and the Houston Church Bishops. Go check it out in our website. That's why our website is called paganbishops.com. That's the name of our website, Pagan Bishops. Because when I look at the Joint College of African American Bishops, these are men and women who have allowed themselves to be paganized. And the books state it so. And the books are loaded with footnotes. Jackass Bishops alone is 13 chapters. And the Houston Bishops is 16 chapters. Between both books is over 400 footnotes. And we haven't heard a peep out of any one of the members of the Joint College of African. We haven't heard a peep. Now, what does that tell you? Someone's calling you a pagan. Someone's calling you out. Someone's calling you a traitor to Christ. Someone's calling you a turncoat. Someone's calling you a Benedict Arnold. And you say nothing? You say nothing? Well, maybe because you don't have a leg to stand on. Maybe they realize, hey, no. Let's stay quiet. Let's stay quiet. Well, you see, when you stay quiet, when I release the other 10 books, when the church sees all 12 books and not one of you has responded, not one of you has responded, not one of you has said boo, then we know that you don't have scholars among you, that you traffic in error. Because if you traffic in the truth, you're going to stand up for Christ. So let's see what happens. Let's see if the Joint College decides to answer. Just send us your champion. Send us your best guy or gal. Send us a team of three. Three guys can tag team. Now, the first proposition that we want to present today is powerful. It's powerful. And here it is. Here is the first proposition, or here is the first thesis. And proposition one. And it's right there. It's in the broadcast write-up. And it reads like this: Why does the Joint College of African American Bishops seek to establish and maintain ecumenical ties with Papal Rome, considering that the Book of Revelation calls this apostate institution Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth? And there, that's the first proposition. Why does the Joint College of African American Bishops keep chasing the Pope? This Joint College is constantly making pilgrimages to Rome to seek an audience with the Pope, whether it be John Paul II or whether it be Benedict XVI or whether it be Pope Francis. This Joint College, since its foundation, has been making treks to the city of Rome, cure an audience with the Pope in hopes that they can establish and maintain ecumenical ties with this apostate institution the Bible calls Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why does the Joint College of African American Bishops seek to establish and maintain ties with an organization that the Holy Spirit has called the Harlot Church? Why would anyone in the Protestant Church, why would anyone who is a member of the Bride of Christ, and mind you, my beloved saints, my dear brothers and sisters, the Bride of Christ, the true church, according to Revelation 19, she is dressed in white. The Harlot Church, which is the mistress of the Antichrist, she is dressed, according to Revelation 17:4, she is dressed in purple and in scarlet. Scarlet is the color of the archbishops, and purple is the color of bishops. the harlot church, the mistress of the beast, the girlfriend of the Antichrist, this harlot church, this prostitute church, this church is dressed in purple and in scarlet, the same colors adopted by the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, whereas the Church of Christ, the Bride of Christ, she's dressed in white. Why are you taking the colors? And so, again, Proposition 1. And we need for someone over there at the Joint College of African American Bishops to respond. We want to know why this group, this body, this corpus has sought since the year 2000 to establish ties, ecumenical ties, religious ties, working ties, and not, listen, they just didn't seek to establish ties, but to maintain them and to grow the relationship. They have worked feverishly. The leaders of the Joint College of African American Bishops have gone back each and every year since 2000, seeking to further the relationship, make the relationship better, sweeter. Now, why would anyone who claims to be a member of the church, who claims to be a member of the Bride of Christ, why would anyone seek to establish relationships with a rival church, an apostate church? Because, you know, Satan, the dragon, Satan, the old serpent, he has a false Christ, which takes the place of Christ. He has a false prophet, which takes the place of the Holy Spirit. Satan himself wants to take the place of God the Father. He's the false God. And then the apostate church is the false church that takes the place of the real church. So why would anyone who is a member of the real church want to hang out and have fellowship with the counterfeit church? That's what we want to know. That's the first proposition. That's the first stinging bullet point. That is the first litany of criticism. It's the first in a series of salvos. It is the first of 95 propositions that are set to come. Can you tell us why? Can anyone over there tell us why? Why? Is there any fellowship between light and darkness? Is there any fellowship between the temple of God and idols? Can there be any fellowship between Christ and Belial? Can there be any fellowship between the people of God, the unrighteous? God doesn't say, go in unto them. No. Throughout Scripture, in fact, in Revelation 18, verse 4, God says to his people, in speaking of the harlot church, God says, come out of her, my people. So why would we disregard God's advice, God's admonition? Why would we disregard? It's like Lot disregarding the message of the angels when they were telling him, hurry up, get out of Sodom. God is about to rain fire and brimstone on Sodom. And the angels told Lot and his family, don't linger. Don't lollygag. Don't drag your feet. Hurry up and get out of Sodom. Now, why would anyone reading Revelation 18:4, knowing that God is about to judge the harlot church, why would anyone go into the harlot church and hang out with the harlot church and seek to establish and maintain and cause to flourish a relationship with the harlot church. That's the first argument. And it's, listen. It is open for what? Discussion. We're putting it forth for discussion, for analysis, and debate. And you can expect this every day for 95 days. Now, let's see. Let's see, my dear brothers and sisters, if anyone over there at the Joint College of Bishops decides to respond. We'll let you know if they did, and we will quote the person who responded. We will ask them to send an email, and we will make that email available to all. If they respond by email, which we're asking them to do, we want them to commit their response in print. This way, we can give it to all who would ask for their response. Let's see if anyone over there at the Joint College, you would think with the word college, they would have some scholars. Let's see. Well, that's the first proposition. That does it for today. Tune in tomorrow where we'll have proposition number two. And I want to end today's broadcast with the hymn, Onward, Christian Soldier.